Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Sarah McLaughlin, Porteous Port NOLA Chief of Staff, to talk about the latest happenings in and around the port. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Newell. Happy to be here.
Sarah, I wanted to start off with, obviously, we've been watching what's going on with the bridge that collapsed over in the Port of Baltimore. And one of the things that has, you know, really revealed itself is the importance of these ports and the economic impact of these ports and the big concern to hurry up and get this thing back open, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, we send our deepest sympathy to all of our colleagues at the Maryland Port Authority and anybody who's been, you know, impacted by the tragedy in Baltimore. But yes, I think it's all the more reason why we are continuing with development of our Louisiana International Terminal down in St. Bernard Parish.
You know, I think a lot of folks have gone through this educational process. The media has been reporting about what it actually means to that area. And there are a lot of similarities that we can draw from them to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important for people to know that we've got layered safety measures in place, you know, for ships traversing Algiers Point to terminals at the Port of New Orleans. You know, the ship pilots that navigate the vessels on the river are some of the best trained in the world. They spend years learning their profession and staying updated on the latest technological advancements. And, you know, the pilots are supported by a robust fleet of harbor assist tugs that escort the ships and assist them in docking at port terminals. And I think also important to say that, you know, often pilots begin their careers working in these same tugs. So layers of safety in place, you know, in the event that something like this were to happen.
Yeah, has the disruption kind of worked its way out yet there in Baltimore or no? Do we know?
I can't speak to that. I mean, obviously, we do follow the industry trends. I can tell you we are not feeling any impacts, any supply chain impacts here in New Orleans. But, you know, Port of New Orleans, like all other ports here in Louisiana, will do whatever we can to support as they continue with their recovery.
So let's kind of look internal. What are the most recent numbers that we know about the economic impact of our port throughout the region?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. And just to kind of take a step back, when we think about ports globally, there are 8,000 ports around the world, more than 300 ports in the U.S., 32 in Louisiana, and we're one of the five on the lower Mississippi. And our port complex represents one of the busiest port complexes in the world. So as you can imagine, there are a lot of jobs that support, a lot of maritime and logistics jobs that are supporting all of that work here in Louisiana.
And when we talk about that economic impact, what are the numbers? What does that reveal in numbers?
Yeah, it reveals numbers. First of all, ports are responsible for one in five jobs in Louisiana, I think, which is pretty incredible. And when we talk about maritime and logistics jobs, it's all of the people who are handling cargo. So from truckers to harbor police to warehouse staff to professional services, people supporting our administrative processes, legal services, all of that. So it's an incredible number of jobs that really support that. And we look at the average salary at our facilities, it's about $75,000 a year, which is 50% higher than the local average. So these are well-paying, family-supporting jobs in the maritime industry.
And the spinoff is pretty huge, too, right? I mean, I was talking to Mr. Massengill from St. Tammany Corps. They were very excited about an announcement that they made with Agile Coal Storage facility that's locating on the North Shore, obviously, that mm-hmm. deals with a lot of refrigerator and freezer containers that are coming through our port.
Yeah. And when we think about the Louisiana International Terminal and long-term, it's expected to generate 32,000 new jobs nationwide, 18,000 jobs here in Louisiana, and 4,300 in St. Bernard Parish, and that's all by 2050. So it's pretty significant.
And the way that it's structured, from what I understand, and this was done intentionally so that it would have a tax impact on in a positive way to local government and state government.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way it works at our Uptown terminal here at Napoleon, we own the cranes. But, you know, when we think about the new terminal, it's going to be cranes and other equipment are going to be owned by the port operators. So that's going to generate a significant tax benefit for the parish and the state.
Which, as you say, is different than the way that we're structured now.
Yes. Here at our Uptown terminal, we own the cranes.
Yeah. So when we talk about so where are we right now? I mean, if you give us an update on the LIT as to where we are now.
Yeah, so we are still in the permitting process. We're a little more than halfway through the permitting process, and we are hoping to start construction sometime next year. But what we're really focusing on now is the workforce development and creating pathways for jobs now. And how do we do that? I mean, it starts with early conversations, which we've been having over the last couple of years in St. Bernard Parish, you know, to make sure that this project brings opportunities, you know, for the residents in Violet and St. Bernard Parish and throughout the state. And so, you know, a lot of that means, you know, developing relationships with partners to figure out how we can meet the needs of the community, how we can provide opportunities for people to be preparing, you know, to get ready for those jobs. And the other thing, and I think, you know, it's our responsibility to educate and expose careers, you know, on the river to the next generation of maritime workers. So we've got a lot of programming going on, not just in high schools, but also with some, you know, younger students in Jefferson, Orleans, and St. Bernard Parish.
No, absolutely. And I guess, are you guys also checking in with like Delgado and other learning institutions as well?
Yeah, Delgado, Nunez, yes. I mean, yes, all institutions at the college level. But, you know, as I said, we need to really think even longer term. You know, how are we preparing the younger generation? And one of the partnerships I'll mention, we have a longstanding partnership with Who Works the Waterways. A great relationship, and it allows us to host maritime exposure events for local students in our tri-parish area. And really thinking about how do we make it fun for those students, and the way that we do that is getting them out of their classrooms. We've hosted events at the Louisiana Children's Museum. We've hosted events, you know, at high schools, at other schools, you know, just to really expose people to maritime and logistics and get them excited about it. Because, you know, we have this incredible resource in our backyards. And we really need to get people excited about careers in that industry.
Sarah, and finally, any update on the roadway? I know there's been a lot of funding that's been provided. Any forward movement there?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, RPC, the Regional Planning Commission, is in the middle of their study. I think they recently had a meeting down in St. Bernard Parish. They're still collecting information, and they plan to, you know, present some of the results of that in the June timeframe. So we'll be keeping our eye on that. And in the meantime, we are working on our end and taking a look at potential, you know, financing strategies through a public-private partnership. So, yeah, we are continuing to move forward, you know, in parallel with the project. And if I could just mention one more. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to mention one more thing. I did also just want to highlight our Harbor Police Department, which obviously is also part of the port, and we are hiring. These are also great careers. Currently, we've got 40 commissioned officers who are responsible for protecting the port, and we do have open positions for police officers there.
Absolutely. I was going to say, there's a lot of things that are kind of coalescing at the same point relative to the lit, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And I
think, you know, the roadway, the project, I mean, those are things that are working in parallel.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Again, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. It is our responsibility to educate and continue to expose careers on the river, and we appreciate the opportunity to do that here with you today.
Sarah McLaughlin Porteous, thank you so much for joining us. We check in with you guys periodically to get an update as to this all-important, very important project, that one that you don't get these types of opportunities that often that come your way. And so we really appreciate you joining us and providing the info today. Have a great weekend.
You too, Newell. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that was Sarah McLaughlin Porteous, Port NOLA Chief of Staff. We will be right back out after the break. We'll go to the talk lines. We want to hear from you. We talked to, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, a lot of topics. As I pointed out earlier, we are 33 days away from what they hope to be the beginning of the Constitutional Convention. Still no agenda. How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts there? What are your thoughts about the erosion of the public records doctrine? They want you to know less, not more. When I hear the explanations, kind of a head scratcher to me. Are they to you? Would love to hear from you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I've been on both sides of the aisle relative to this Public Records Act. As a the chief criminal deputy from 1995 to 2007, having to deal with public records requests daily, I understand that there are folks that try to abuse the public records statute, not unlike any other law, any other situation. You are not required to do the work for them. They have to ask for specific documents. And if you have them, you have to make them available. If you provide them, you charge them. Part of the problem that public officials are having is that they don't really educate themselves about the public records law. And they don't quite understand what they are obligated to do and what they're not obligated to do. That's problem number one. And I used to advise people all the time across the state. They would call me, what am I supposed to do here? What am I, you know, and typically I'd start off with, what do you have to hide? It is what it is, and it ain't going to change. The document is established. Worst thing you could do is go try to cover it up. You said it, you own it. Plain and simple. If you don't want to own it, don't say it. Plain and simple. An exercise of emotional intelligence and dealing with this in a business fashion and not shooting from the hip all the time. When I listened to Senator Heather Cloud yesterday about trying to justify shielding deliberative documents, emails, communications, and stuff, it became evident to me that she knows little or nothing about how government actually works and how this deliberative process works. She speaks as though every process leads to a finalized document. Well, that's not necessarily true. The vast majority of items that are spoken about, that there are emails that are delivered and bantered about and so forth, oftentimes don't end up in a finalized document, press release, this, that, or otherwise. So defining what deliberative means is where the rubber meets the road. The devil's in the details. That is an incredibly vague description. And it opens this up to so much abuse, it is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll say this again. These people think we are stupid. They really do. I'll go back to what I said just a moment ago. If you say it, you own it. You put it in writing, you own it. When you're creating documents, you need to be on point. It needs to be pertinent. It needs to lack a whole bunch of editorialization on certain issues, and you'll be much better served for it, of dealing with things in a professional manner. Where these things come back to haunt people is when they start from a stupid position. And they try to justify their idiocracy or their stupidity or their lack of understanding or their lack of knowledge. The lack of due diligence haven't been done in order to gain a better understanding of what it is that they're getting ready to opine on. And many times, the memorialization of what they said or what they do or what they put in writing is embarrassing. But you own it. Why don't you reflect for a few moments? The abuse that's being set up here is second to none. How many times is there deliberative speech by an individual who's not part of the final decision-making process? In fact, when it comes to the governor in dealing with agencies, agency heads and others, it's a lot. They ultimately make the decision. The governor has the right to weigh in. Why would we want to shield the governor's responses, feelings, expectations, intrusion into certain issues from the public? What does he have to hide? The easiest way to get around this is to have other people make and craft the ultimate final document that Senator Heather Cloud points out, never identifying all of the parties that actually had some input into the formation of the final document, because all of that deliberative speech and the identity of those engaged in deliberative speech is shielded from the public. So I can imagine that every decision made where a huge donor to the governor, with the scenario that I just identified, never gets revealed. Because we never know whether or not the governor participated in deliberative speech with his agency head, let's just say the head of the Department of Transportation and Development that has a huge budget, a lot of capital projects out there, a lot of things going on out there, from environmental law to economic impact, a lot of, as I said, capital projects. And we're never able to find out who actually weighed in. How do we end up picking that individual? Are we now going to say that the matrix in deciding in the procurement process is part of the deliberative process as well? The deliberative speech that went on in the formation of the matrix by which to judge these projects, is that deliberative speech? Does the public not have a right to know? Wouldn't you like to know if they were completely disrupting your community and planning a roadway through there as to who had their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak? Who are the players and who stood to benefit? And whose detriment did it work to? What did the individual elected official have to say who's representing that area as to whether or not they ever truly did speak up on your behalf or not? You would not want to know these things? I suspect otherwise, that you would want to know. And these protections are also going to apply to your local elected officials. Not just the Alibabas in Baton Rouge. They must think we are stupid. So this bill makes its way out of Senate and Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday. Senate Bill 482. Senator Caleb Kleinpeter from Port Allen voted yes. Senator Blake Miguez voted yes. Senator Gary Carter from New Orleans voted no. Senator Mike Facey from Houma voted yes. Senator Sam Jenkins from Shreveport, no. Senator Gregory Miller from Norco, yes. Senator Mike Reese from Leesville, yes. Senator Glenn Womack from Harrisonburg, yes. So you have six yeses, two noes, six people that don't want you to know. Next time you go to the voting booth, remember that. Jot those names down, because you are not worthy of knowing. We'll be right back with the folks that are putting together the recall campaign against the St. Tammany coroner, Christopher Tape. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Folks, very unflattering information was revealed by about Christopher Tape, most of it after he was actually elected. And as a result thereof, there are a lot of folks that are very upset by the information that has been revealed, and folks are now taking matters into their own hand, and they're involving and in organizing a recall effort. And one of the campaign leaders joins us, Noble Bates Young. Noble, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I know that you've been involved in St. Tammany economic development and opportunity and the like for a number of years. What are you folks thinking? What are they saying? And how's this organizing of this recall effort going?
So folks are saying, wow, when they're getting the full picture, and really all you have to do is a quick Google search of his name, and you get the full picture of what's happening out there. There are people online who are saying, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty. If you review the files that have been shared that are public records from New Mexico, you can see that where there's smoke, there's fire. I think it's important to note that 4 months after he was accused of this was 9/11, and we all know what happened after 9/11. This is a technicality that he got away with this. And I do think it's also important to note that he was not elected. He walked into office unopposed. So the St. Tammany community was never given the opportunity to speak on this man. It was in the noise in November of all of the our legislative seat, our parish council, all of our parish-wide officials, our statewide officials. There was a lot happening at this time. So when those who were paying attention, like myself, was watching qualifying, and we went, oh, okay, one guy for coroner, one guy for assessor. Those are two races we don't have to worry about. Let's check them off the list. But now, you know, this recall is giving us the opportunity for our citizens to speak. And that is the most important thing that's happening right now.
This individual actually worked for the previous coroner, right? And I had him on air, and he tells me that he was not aware of his history until very recently as well.
Yeah, so this has kind of opened a lot of eyes. You know, I couldn't tell you the last time I applied for a job where I wasn't background checked, but apparently the coroner's office does not do background checks. But, you know, the problem with that sentence is we could have done a background check, but because he wasn't charged, it wouldn't have been on his record. So it was the kind of thing that had that policy been in place, which, you know, I understand that with some things moving under the umbrella, there's a bill working through the legislature that would move some functions under parish government. Those employees would now be subject to background checks. But again, that doesn't close the loophole that we're in right now. It kind of feels like the Twilight Zone. Every time you ask, well, what about this? Wouldn't apply. Wouldn't have helped. So there's a lot happening. There's a lot of conversations. And Dr. Preston does say that he was not aware of this until recently. And my understanding is that once he found out about it, he raised the flag. We're all trying to get going in the right direction now.
So how many signatures do you guys need to procure? This, you know, that we recently had one here in the city of New Orleans relative to Mayor LaToya Cantrell. The threshold is not an easy one to reach. So how many signatures do you guys need to achieve?
Right now, rough number, we're looking at 38,000. What I will say is that on Tuesday, we filed with the Secretary of State to start this process. They then send it to the Registrar of Voters in St. Tammany Parish, who says, as of Tuesday, Lord, it's been a week. What day was Tuesday? As of Tuesday, our registered number is X, and you have to have 20% of that number. So the actual, down to the number that you need of signatures is this number. We have not received that official number yet, but we're already out gangbusters. We've got people with we're calling them binders, that they're out working the community. In 2 days, I've filled up 3 pages, so there's 15 per page. So, and that's just me. We've got probably 50 binders out in the community, and everybody's saying, I got 50 already. I've got 42. So, you know, it's going to start strong, and we understand that it's going to be a long process, and that is a high number. But the way I broke it down yesterday to somebody that kind of – put it in perspective, if you take a group that's got 60 people in it, and it's an organization, a civic group, whatever it is, if every single person in that organization makes a pledge and they take one sheet of paper, which is 15 signatures, and every single person collects 15 signatures, which is incredibly doable. That's, you know, your household and the three houses around you or your coworkers. If everybody does 15 in that group, that's 900 right now. So, you know, if you break it down, that's 38 organizations we can get to. We also have on our website, we launched last night a hub page, which is really just a list of all of the locations who have said, we want a binder in-house, advertise that the binder's here. So, you know, yesterday I ran into somebody, I said, can you sign? And they said, I actually stopped by Downtown Drugs this morning and I've already signed. So the hubs are also up and running and working as well.
One of the biggest challenges, reconciliation of these lists to make sure that folks are actually registered voters, that they qualify to sign the list. And one of the breakdowns, I think, in the recall election with Mayor LaToya Cantrell is that they did not have a daily reconciliation. And when you get up into those types of numbers, it can get away from you really fast.
Yeah,
and if you're not creating the necessary backroom operation with the database and everything else, checking and double checking to make sure that your record is sacrosanct. You know, the way the law reads, it stacks up against you. And you know, you have to anticipate what those things are going to actually be and just double check and do it daily, because if you let it go for a week, it's hard to catch up.
Yeah, so we have a group of retired teachers who, my mother was a teacher, and I know that they are black and white, no nonsense, keeping everything on the up and up. And they're the ones who are going to kind of keep us moving forward with that tick sheet and keeping us on the right process.
Yeah, because I find that was the breakdown, because I interviewed Ms. Carter here every week, sometimes twice a week, and it became evident to me that they really never had that running total number. The back room operation, knowing where they were, why they were, and otherwise, and double checking. You'll have people sign lists two and three times. They even forgot they signed the list. Duplication and the like. What is Mr. Tape saying to you guys? Have y'all had an opportunity to talk to him?
No, and I don't see, I'm not going to be somebody who reaches out. You know, I think that whether you know, people saying the right, he got off, he wasn't charged with this, he's innocent until proven guilty. That's just about the integrity and the character of somebody that we want representing us or don't want representing us. And he could be an excellent coroner. Me personally, Noble Bates Young, that's not the type of character and integrity and individual that I want representing me. So that's, you know, a high on the list of reasons that I got involved with this.
No, absolutely. So you've been out there for a couple of days now. Mood of the public. What are you hearing?
Well, there's some education that's still happening. What's going on? What happened? And when you tell people this is the history of it and his background, their initial instinct is, where do I sign? How can I help? What can I do? Give me a binder. You know, there are a lot of people who are coming on board and agreeing with this. We really haven't had nobody's pushed back on me personally. Everybody's on the up and up. This. I know that 38,000 is a lot, but if we keep pounding the pavement and the message is clear, this is easy, right? You know, some of the things that I found with and I wasn't in this recall, but with the LaToya recall is that, you know, some people she didn't bother most people, right? Like some people, they just did, I don't need to sign. I'm not that upset with her. I'm good. Whereas with us, you know, this is bipartisan, Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody can be on the same page that accusations of child sexual abuse are not okay. So, you know, it's a pretty easy thing to champion and get behind.
One of the failures, too, in the recall of Mayor LaToya Cantrell was political leadership, political willingness, political leaders' willingness to step out. And where do y'all stand there?
So we are compiling a list because, you know, when you're out in the community and you say, you know, myself and Gene Cefalu and Cheryl Martinez, the people who are on the paperwork for all of these things, those names don't necessarily mean anything to the general public. But when we say that our legislative delegation and we list them who are all supportive, they wrote a letter urging him to resign. The parish council did a letter urging him to resign. So there are people who've already put out how they feel about this situation, and they've all been supportive of the effort. And we have a section on our website of our honorary chairmen who are supportive, and they have name recognition, and they're, you know, elected, previously elected.
Have any of them signed? Have they signed?
Yeah. So Tuesday when I went to, we went to the Secretary of State's office, and in one of my jobs, I work at the Capitol. So I left the Secretary of State's office and I went to the Capitol and I had the binder, and our entire legislative delegation has personally signed the recall already.
That's good news. I mean, because I don't think they had a single person in New Orleans do it. I know we had a similar situation in Jefferson. I was an elected official at the time. I signed. And, you know, I just... I'm a firm believer. You can't complain if you don't get involved, and if you let others, you know, handle it. So I mean, it sounds to me like y'all are a long way down the road to have the entire legislative delegation sign the recall petition.
Yeah. Yep. Starting with a bang.
Well, best of luck to you. We'll check in with you as you go along the way, because your time is tolling now, right?
Yeah. The clock started on Tuesday, so we're looking at mid-October, but, you know, there are some dates we have to be wary of to see when we get it on the ballot. So those are, you know, that's our next thing to tackle.
Best of luck to you, Noble Bates Young, St. Tammany recall campaign leader of Christopher Tape, the coroner there in St. Tammany Parish. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Francois Cattell, owner of West Bank Fishing. He fishes out of Empire. The Menhaden commercial fishing season started this past month, or maybe this month, this coming Monday, and we'll talk about that. There were some compromises between the sport fishing, recreational fishing community, and commercial fishermen. We'll talk about where that stands as well. And in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Tan Trung, WWL multimedia journalist. He has a new podcast about New Orleans Jazz Fest, Quint Davis, the Rolling Stones, and so much more. So stay tuned. We'll talk with Tan Trung in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour as well. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.